What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And today, one of the original members of the show, John Kegley, joins us because it is Mock Draft Monday. But first, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. And we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And this is our second And this is our third season now as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, I hope you guys are as excited as we are because it is Mock Draft Monday version 5.0. So you are going to get three separate five-round mock drafts. And unfortunately, what that means is we're going to have to push the voicemails to tomorrow's show. But I know you guys are happy with the Mock Draft Monday, so I'm sure you'll be happy to have us, you know, kind of expand on that segment. So we're going to start with the news of the updated amount of money the Chargers have left in salary cap space and talk about, you know, a couple moves they could potentially still make. And then in the second segment, we'll be getting into some changes of our mock drafts. Obviously, last week we went through four rounds, and this week there are a bunch of changes we are going to make. So we're going to need a whole segment for that. We'll also talk about what trade we would make if we were deciding we wanted to throw trades into the mock draft, because right now there's no trades. And then to end the show, we'll give our fifth round mock draft for the Chargers. But let's go ahead and get into it. After the Los Angeles Chargers spending spree in free agency, we now have an updated number on how much cap space they still have, and it's a little bit more than we might have thought. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. The Chargers made some big-time moves in the first week of free agency, bringing in Chris Harris Jr., Brian Bulaga, and Linval Joseph, and then had some smaller signings later on with Nick Vigil, Donald Parham, the tight end from the XFL, and also Darius Jennings, the receiver and return specialist from overthecap.com. Now that the signings are official, the Chargers have about $21 million left in salary cap space, which seems like a lot. But David, obviously, there's still some numbers that have to be subtracted from that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you go into the NFL draft here that's going to be in a couple of weeks, and you have to have some money that's going to be set aside for those draft picks. After that, you're not going to go into the season without any money to play with because injuries are a part of the game. Things happen, so you have to have some money left over to prepare for those things. So they probably are going to have about $3 to $4 million in reserve for that. And then, you know, that leaves about $8 to $9 million of spending money that they're going to have to actually go out and potentially bring in other people. You never know. It's kind of a weird feeling for the Chargers. They haven't had this much money even after bringing in several guys that are going to contribute right away. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with that.
Absolutely, especially because there are still some pretty big holes on the roster right now. Your 2019 third-round pick, Trey Pipkins, is slated to be the starter at left tackle, and he still needs some developing. You have some other needs that you could fill as well, including, you know, bringing in a left tackle like Jason Peters or bringing back a defensive tackle in Damian Square, who was a really underappreciated part of the Chargers' defense last year. Defensive line is where the Chargers really need some depth, and I think they could have Square at a good price. So the splashy moves are probably off the table. Maybe you could talk Jason Peters into taking, you know, a $6 or $7 million one-year deal or a two-year deal where the contract is backloaded. Or you could go the route of bringing back somebody who's familiar with the system, as well as adding some depth to the defensive line.
Or the team could wait and see who gets released after the draft is completed, because I'm sure there's going to be some moves that are going to be made that might result in having some veterans released and back on the market. And Tom Telesco is always trying to turn over every rock and see who's available. And if someone comes available at a position of need, then he might be able to strike there. And there's still some money left over in case Tom Telesco wants to make any other additions to this roster.
Yeah, whether it be before or after the draft, because obviously jobs might be lost when the draft comes up because positions could be taken by some of the newer draftees. So we'll have to see what happens there. But right now, it's better to have this kind of flexibility, which is not something the Chargers usually have. Usually by this point in the offseason, they're pretty strapped for cash. But this year around, Tom Telesco has really budgeted things out nicely. He's filled some major holes on the roster. And like you said, he still has potential to bring in some more guys that could help this team. And I think guys like Jason Peters or bringing back Damian Square, moves like that would make a lot of sense for the Chargers at this point. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to get into mock draft version 5.0, get into some changes we have to the first four rounds that we've already covered up till this point before getting to our fifth round pick to wrap up the show coming up right after this. All right, guys, what's Mock Draft Monday version of 5.0? This has been really fun, and we had the idea before we even really knew it was going to match up as perfectly as it is now. I mean, right now we are planning on doing Mock Draft 6.0 next week, and 7.0 will be the week of the draft. So I picked today to kind of change mine a lot, and as far as the first four picks that I'm going with, because I still have 2 weeks to change it. So I want to play around with a couple of different scenarios that I could go with my picks. But before we get into the changes we are going to make in the first four rounds, I wanted to talk about the trades that we have not been able to make to this point. Because so far, as we've been doing this, we have not been making any trades in our mock draft, and we are sticking with that. But I know there are, you know, many trades that we've talked about together between the three of us and some other trades, you know, trading back or trading up that we have all kind of talked about. So before we get into the changes that we've made on the roster, John, is there a trade that you would pull off if we were doing trades?
I would probably try and trade back a few spots and then draft Jordan Love so we can get more draft picks. So first you have to look for teams that are going to try to target Jordan Love. So maybe someone like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be someone that would want him. So you need to make sure that you're not drafting too far back that you're behind them, but also make sure that you're not so far up in the draft to the point where Jordan Love is still a major reach. So for example, if you're going to trade back one spot with like the Panthers, for example, because maybe the Panthers want to move ahead of you to get Isaiah Simmons, would you still get Jordan Love with the 7th pick? I don't know about that, but if you draft maybe him at the 11th pick, it seems a lot less of a reach to get Jordan Love. So there's teams like the Jaguars that you could probably trade with, the Raiders. There's a lot of teams that might want to move up to get a tackle or somebody that's way up there, and you can go back, get more draft picks, and get Jordan Love.
David, are there any trades that you would make if we were adding that to the mock?
Well, I've not been shy about my adoration, for Tua Tagovailoa. So obviously, if there's a situation to where the Chargers can put a package together to potentially trade up to secure Tua Tagovailoa and have him be their starter for hopefully the next 10 to 15 years, then I would absolutely jump on that move. I'd love it. Obviously, I've said many times he has great touch, great feel in the pocket, his good escapability. He just, for me, he's one of the best quarterback prospects that we've seen. Yes, he has injury concerns. That's totally warranted if you have concerns about that. But I feel like if he's healthy, he's a dynamic player, and I would love to have him. I also wouldn't mind trading back. If, you know, the pick is Jordan Love, that's fine with me. But just like John, I am not comfortable taking him at 6. I think that's a dramatic reach. If you can still trade back and secure his services and let him wait and learn under Tyrod Taylor for a year, I would be much more comfortable with that.
One, who's to say that, you know, Tom Brady doesn't want to add a weapon for him in the first round if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers decide to go that direction? There's not many quarterback needy teams at the end of the first round. So if you trade back, I mean, the one thing you do too is you might not even need to take Jordan Love with that pick. I mean, you could pick an offensive tackle with that pick and then come back around at the top of the second and trade back into the first to get Jordan Love if you wanted to go that way. For me, I think the best case scenario, the best trade I would be in favor of is if the Detroit Lions stand pat and they don't trade out of the third spot and they end up taking Jeffrey Okuda, whoever they end up picking. I think you try to trade with the Giants up to the 4th selection. You leapfrog Miami, even if they're putting out everything in the world saying they're, you know, infatuated with Justin Herbert. Don't fall for the smokescreen. Move up 2 spots to get your guy if you have to, because the risk is absolutely worth it with Tua Tagovailoa, because there's just not that many red flags on the field. Everything is injury concerns, but from everything else you look at, he looks like he is going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL, and that's exactly what you need if you're the Chargers. So I would absolutely pull the trigger on that trade. But let's go ahead and get to the changes. David, I know that you have a couple, or at least one change that you were thinking about making. So when you're looking at the first four rounds of the mock draft that we've done up till this point, are there any trades that you're thinking about making, or at least are there any switches to who you've selected that you're thinking about doing?
Yeah, there is. There's a couple of changes. I mean, and for me, it started in the second round. I was really contemplating changing J.K. Dobbins, but I just couldn't really find another position that I really loved the value there. So I ended up staying with J.K. Dobbins. But in the third round, I decided to make a change there, and I went with Bryce Hall, the corner out of Virginia. I know the Chargers need to add another outside type of corner, and that's what he is. I feel comfortable taking him in the third round because he has a lot of great physical gifts that I think can be molded into a really, really good corner in this league. And I address wide receiver a little bit later, and it's definitely still a position that's on my mind.
Spoiler alert, jeez.
Should I not say that?
It's fine. It's fine. Go, keep going.
It's definitely still a position that's on my mind, but I feel like I can still get a great receiver and still get good value later on in the draft.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing about the wide receiver position is as you keep going down these mock drafts, you're like, oh, wow. Well, I mean, I like the guy I picked earlier on, but at the same time, look at this guy who's now available in the fifth or the sixth round. Like, I could address it there and maybe attack another position of need earlier on in the draft. So I definitely get what you're saying there, and I think that would put us with all at Bryce Hall for the third pick, unless I change it. John was kind of iffy on that one as well. But John, when you're looking at what you have, are you going to make any changes to the first four rounds of your mock?
No, I don't think I'm going to do it this week, but next week, I think I probably will, since I'll have six rounds to deal with.
What are the spots that you're looking at to potentially change? Which ones of the four that you have right now are you kind of wondering if you might change it going forward?
So much, it's not so much the picks themselves are questionable. It's just what's the best position to put yourself in. So, for example, I have Bryce Hall at three, and then there's a pick at five that I'll mention later that could change a little bit, and if that pick changes, then I would have a corner at five, and then I'd move my third pick to be Zach Moss. There's like a lot of picks right there, really, and then AJ Dillon and AJ Green would be some picks to look at for that fifth and sixth round pick. It's a lot of things moving around right now, but I mean, if I get seven rounds to deal with this, I think I'd have a lot firmer grasp on what I want to do with each pick.
So who's your top four as it stands right now, just to refresh the audience?
First, Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa, and then wide receiver T. Higgins out of Clemson, cornerback Bryce Hall out of Virginia, and then Chris Orr, the linebacker out of Wisconsin.
David, what's your updated first four rounds?
So my updated first four rounds as of this week is offensive tackle Mekhi Becton out of Louisville, J.K. Dobbins, the running back out of Ohio State, the corner Bryce Hall out of Virginia in the third. The fourth is Jabari Zuniga, the defensive end out of Florida. And that's my updated top four picks.
All right, yeah. So, I mean, I like the ways that you guys have kind of filled this out before. I mean, we've talked about it for everyone who's wondering, you know, why we haven't taken a quarterback. There's not a single one of us that has sold on Jalen Hurts. So that's the reason you don't, you know, see him in the second or third round. I'm not sure where the value is on that. And as well as if we had trades, obviously, we probably all have a quarterback at this point, and we want the Chargers to trade out of the sixth spot one way or the other. But I made a couple of changes to mine. So mine last week was first round Mekhi Becton. I've been pretty solid with him the last couple of weeks. I started with Jedrick Wills at offensive tackle before the Brian Bulaga signing, before free agency. I'm going to stick with Mekhi Becton at six. But in the second round, instead of going Jalen Reagor, I wanted to kind of experiment with going a different direction and seeing how the draft ended up unfolding if I wasn't to take a wide receiver in the second round. So in this case, I ended up taking Noah Igbinoghene. Good luck saying that five times fast. I did a lot of practice leading up to this show so I could say it for you guys well. Noah Igbinoghene is a corner from Auburn that's, I mean, a super athletic corner, a super feisty corner, a guy who's going to jam people at the line of scrimmage. He wants to get his hands all over you, but at the end of the day in the NFL, it's going to have to stop after 5 yards. But I think what this does is gives Michael Davis some more competition at that CB2 spot, because I had Bryce Hall before and I still like Bryce Hall in the third round. But like I said, I wanted to try it a little bit differently. Igbinoghene is actually a better athlete than Bryce Hall is. He ran a faster 40. He's a little bit more physical. And I mean, he lays bigger hits, because that's one of the things he brings, is he can lay big hits, but he doesn't wrap up enough. He reminds me of Michael Davis not being able to get his head around. So hopefully that's something they could work out. But as far as a guy that wouldn't necessarily have to start off the bat, could play all four special teams phases. I mean, this is a guy that would definitely help. And then to go in the third round instead of Bryce Hall, I'm going to change my wide receiver to Chase Claypool, the wide receiver, I guess, slash tight end out of Notre Dame. I see him as a wide receiver, and specifically, I see him filling that Tyrell Williams role that the Chargers have really been missing, John, because Chase Claypool, I think his route tree will develop in the NFL. He's a little bit stiff, but at the same time, he has a super catch radius. He runs a 4.4 40, so he's fast enough to stretch the field, and I think the Chargers have missed Tyrell Williams. In this case, they get another guy that can run those drag routes across the field and get some good yards after the catch. They have a deep threat who has pretty good hands and pretty good boundary awareness, as well as end zone awareness as far as keeping his feet in. And the Chargers, in this way, they still end up covering the same two positions I had before, but I'm switching it up a little bit, John. In this case, you get a really physical, you know, feisty corner who's super athletic and can be molded, you know, over a season. And you get a third round wide receiver that I think would step into that Tyrell Williams role, a big body wide receiver that can fly.
I like that you picked a corner that's aggressive, because that's what the Chargers need to make sure they get, is a corner that's aggressive. You can't have any corner who just thinks that they can sit on an island and cover somebody, especially with the type of defense we're going to be running. You got to have a guy that's got to be able to jam and be physical and knock wide receivers off of their routes, because unless we get a super good pass rush this year for the first time in who knows how long with just the first four defensive line alone, that the corners are going to really help the D with holding the wide receivers from getting to their spots at the blink of an eye.
Well, I'm glad you made that point, John, just real quickly, because that's one of the reasons I made this pick, is because this is a guy that's going to help on those short passes that have been absolutely killing the Chargers. It's hard to get away from this guy in the first couple seconds, which has been the Chargers' kryptonite, those quick passes that really offset their pass rush.
I like that you picked a corner that's aggressive, because that's what the Chargers need to make sure they get, is a corner that's aggressive. You can't have any corner who just thinks that they can sit on an island and cover somebody, especially with the type of defense we're going to be running. You got to have a guy that's got to be able to jam and be physical and knock wide receivers off of their routes, because unless we get a super good pass rush this year for the first time in who knows how long with just the first four defensive line alone, that the corners are going to really help the D with holding the wide receivers from getting to their spots at the blink of an eye.
Well, I'm glad you made that point, John, just real quickly, because that's one of the reasons I made this pick, is because this is a guy that's going to help on those short passes that have been absolutely killing the Chargers. It's hard to get away from this guy in the first couple seconds, which has been the Chargers' kryptonite, those quick passes that really offset their pass rush.
It is, but the one worry I have on him is he hasn't really faced that many really great wide receivers that would be what you call NFL types. When he did, like when he played against Alabama, he had to go against Ruggs a couple of times. You could see he was sneaking some holding calls. Not all of them got called, but he was sneaking them. In the NFL, it's going to be a lot harder to get away with those sneaky little holding calls. That's my one little worry I have with him, but I like how physical he is. And then with Claypool, I agree. You do need that guy that's going to run those crossing routes. Those are needed big time, but at the same time, what kind of offense is the Chargers going to run this year? Is it going to be the quarterback rolling out of the pocket? Because if that's the case, then you're going to need a guy like Claypool, because you're going to need that wide receiver that's coming from
those deep play action crosses. Yep.
Yeah, you're going to need that wide receiver that's coming from the opposite side of the field from where you're rolling out from to be that backside option in case everybody on your side, if you've got the fullback and the tight end and a wide receiver all rolling out to the side the quarterback's rolling to, and they're all covered. You need that wide receiver that comes from the backside that Russell Wilson loved, which was the Doug Baldwin plays, basically, when he would come from the backside and he would find him wide open for that 20-yard dump off after he's been running around for a little while. You need that wide receiver. So that's a great pick by you.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of his 40 times is like a 4.38 or something, but that's what it kind of reminded me of. And the better part about it is he's a deep threat that can also catch a big body deep threat, which is not something you had in like Travis Benjamin per se.
But. And I like that you compared him to a tight end as well, because that's basically what he is. If you want to really think about it, he's like Tyler Eifert mixed with Tyrell Williams a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, especially with his size. I mean, 6'4". Even that said, though, I mean, he is a little stiff in his routes, but I was actually impressed – for a guy his size that can run that fast to be able to run some of the routes and have some of the body control that he has with that frame. I mean, he's no Malcolm Floyd with the body control and boxing people out. But at the same time, I was impressed with what I saw from him. I think he gets, you know, has a little bit more receiving chops in my mind as a legitimate wideout. Now you have, you know, him and Mike Williams on the outside, and he's a very different big receiver than Mike Williams is. He creates separation, which is the big difference. He's actually a little bit better after the catch as well. But that's what my thinking was. But we still have a whole nother round to get into, guys, because we have the fifth round mock draft version 5.0 getting into our fifth round picks coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, thank you to everyone who came in and checked out our mock draft version 5.0. And this is the moment you've all been waiting for, because we are going to get into our fifth round selections. This is where things get hard, David. I mean, the farther you get down these drafts, I mean, the more you start to question the decisions you made beforehand, and the less clear cut these decisions later on in the drafts get, as well as, you know, knowing who is going to be there. This is crunch time.
It really is. I mean, the more you work you put in, the more time you do these draft simulators and you do the research and you look at different mock drafts, they're all over the spectrum. You have no idea who's going to be available or if you really even feel comfortable with the value in the pick that you decided to make. So it is really, really difficult, but it's also extremely rewarding and fun when you actually put these together and, you know, you put them out there for people to look at.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that also comes when you get to the fifth round as well as these are all flawed players. I mean, it was the same for the fourth round and third round or whatever, but the farther you get, the less polished these prospects are. And I mean, the less clear what their role is going to be for the team, if they will be starters or backups or depth or whatever the case is. But that being said, let's go and get into round five, guys. John, you are the guest today, so you will go first. Who are you going with in the fifth round for your mock draft version 5.0?
I am going with a running back, and it is A.J. Dillon out of Boston College.
Love that.
I feel like we gotta have some kind of power in this backfield. We have one guy who's an elusive, read the hole type of running back in Justin Jackson, and we have another guy who's this really fun playmaking, goes for the big play, can run and catch the ball in Austin Ekeler. But you don't have a guy who's power. I mean, Austin Ekeler acts like he's powerful, but once he runs into a brick wall, he's just going to fall on the floor. A.J. Dillon will be that power back type of guy. He can move the pile while also finding the hole, and he is really good at finding the end zone. This guy had 39 rushing touchdowns in his career. Jeez. And when he finds that second level, he doesn't have the greatest acceleration, but once he gets to his top speed, you're not catching him. Give him about 20 yards of free space. If you give him a fullback to block or the tight end gets a good block, he's gone. There's no catching him. I would like to have him for his power because we need that third and one, that fourth and
short goal. Short yardage, goal line.
That fourth and goal type of running back. And he's not fumble prone. He's not Melvin Gordon. He will hold on to the ball at the goal line.
I love the idea of having a guy that's just going to run somebody the hell over.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you don't have at all. I mean, Austin Ekeler packs a punch. Justin Jackson, I mean, I remember last year in the preseason lowering his shoulder on a poor preseason Cardinals defender to get into the end zone, but that's not what those guys want to do. I mean, they're more finesse players. This is a physical player. I love the pick. Now you've covered your running back bases, and you got a guy who really complements the guys you have already. And, I mean, he's a guy who, you know, isn't shifty, really, but, like, breaks more tackles than you would think for a guy that size. Gets the corner a lot more than a guy you would expect at that size. I really, really like that pick. So, David, you have a running back. You have J.K. Dobbins in the second round. Where are you going with your fifth round pick?
Yeah, and, you know, I had to make a change because I had K.J. Hamler. You know, one of my big focuses is speed. I just want a guy that's going to be able to come in and immediately scare the hell out of defenses, a guy that's going to take the top off. And, you know, you have to account for it. You have to account for speed in the NFL. The receivers in the AFC West have demonstrated that. So, and I did a little teaser, said I was going to make a little bit of change. Well, the change is here. And, you know, I live in Texas, for those people who don't know. I'm from San Diego originally, but I've been living in Texas for the last several years. And exactly. And, well, there's a little another indication of who my pick is going to be, and that is going to be Devin Duvernay, the wide receiver out of Texas, the 5'10", 200-pounder, ran a 4.39 40, had 106 catches, 1,386 yards, and 9 touchdowns. last year, had a great year, was very productive. He has great speed. He has awesome hands. A lot of draft experts have said he has very soft hands. He has a tough, rugged frame. He is a yak player. You know, if he gets the opportunity to get yards after the catch, he's going to do it, and he can make some spectacular plays. And he's also a third down monster. He's a guy that's very reliable. You know, it comes with the good hands, but, you know, you need somebody always that's going to be able to help you convert third downs and stay on the football field. Some of the drawbacks for Devin Duvernay is, you know, he needs to refine his route running. And fortunately, the Chargers have one of the best route runners in the NFL in Keenan Allen. Honestly, I think he is the best route runner in the NFL. So you get a little bit of time with Keenan Allen for Devin Duvernay to kind of help him, teach him the nuances of how to run routes in the NFL. I think that's going to make an exponential difference. He also has some tight hips. He needs some help. And he plays like a running back.
Yeah, I mean, I think it shows you just how deep this draft is for him to even potentially get to the fifth round, because I think he's probably a third or fourth rounder in most drafts. But John, you are the Texas fan. I mean, that's your team in college football. So what would the Chargers get if they decided to draft Devin Duvernay?
You get a speedy, reliable, clutch wide receiver who doesn't have the greatest breakaway speed when it comes to, like, running just a streak route. If you tell him to run a nine route, he's not going to run away from the guy. But if you throw him the ball in traffic, he will hold on to that ball while getting hit. If you need a third down conversion, Keenan Allen and Duvernay will both be your guys to go to. And if Keenan Allen's getting double teamed, Duvernay will catch that ball, even if he's getting hit. That's what you will get with Devin Duvernay.
And you get another playmaker on this offense, right? I mean, that's something that you can never have enough of, especially trying to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs in your own division, the Super Bowl champions. I mean, the more offensive firepower that you have, the better, because you need about as much as you can get. I really like the Duvernay pick. I mean, I thought about taking him and Chase Claypool in this draft, but one thing that I think the Chargers haven't really addressed recently is the tight end position. So in this mock, in the fifth round, a lot of tight ends got to go before I ended up picking in the mocks I was doing, but I'm deciding to go with Harrison Bryant, who's a pass-catching tight end from Florida Atlantic University, so a small school guy that put up some ridiculous numbers in college. And the reason I pick him here is, one thing is, he's not a complete product. He's not going to stick his hand in the dirt and be a physical blocker at the end of the line of scrimmage, but he would give you some more receiving chops at the tight end position. He ran about a 4.7 40, so he's not a super good athlete, but he runs really good routes, and he also is a very big seam threat up the seam against defenses, which is something Henry really hasn't been able to do, getting behind linebackers and really stretching the field that way to open up the shorter routes for guys like Austin Eckler and also Keenan Allen. So I think that's a way that he would help as well. I mean, like I said, he's a pretty raw prospect, but he has really good hands. He can run a pretty decent route tree. He's okay as far as athletically, but to have another reliable pass catcher at the tight end position was something I was looking to address in the fifth round, and something the Chargers haven't brought in, because if that's the case, now you have, you know, Donald Parham, whatever he turns into, Hunter Henry, as well as Virgil Green to, you know, be in there for run blocking downs and stuff like that. So I wanted to come out of this draft with a tight end, and at least for this week, the fifth round, I'm going with Harrison Bryant. The Chargers find a way to, you know, bring in maybe not Hunter Henry's successor, but definitely a complimentary player that would give the Chargers more options offensively if they wanted to run more two tight end sets. But that is going to wrap things up for Mock Draft version 5.0. We'll be getting into some voicemails tomorrow since we didn't get to today, so make sure you guys come back around for that. But hell of a show, guys. I'm really liking the way this has turned out so far. I think I'll have even more changes next week. But for the rest of the week, we're going to be getting into some more draft stuff later on in the week. But we have voicemails and some other fun stuff to talk about tomorrow. And we're also trying to have Daniel Popper from The Athletic come on the show, because he had an article about Tyrod Taylor. He also had an article about Anthony Lynn's comments. So we want to catch up with him and see what he's made of the offseason so far. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys haven't heard the number before, the Locked On Chargers voicemail line is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show, and we'll have a few more for you guys tomorrow. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.